You're listening to Monday Morning Live, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Monday Morning Live, the podcast, and Monday Morning Live, the Facebook feed. I am Matt Bach, Director of Communications with the Michigan Municipal League, and today I'm joined by our illustrious leader, Dan Gilmartin, our CEO and Executive Director. Thank you for joining us today, Dan.
Good to be here, Matt.
As always, if you have questions for Dan and or for me or for our next guest who will be coming up is Chris Hackbarth, feel free to post them in the comments and we'll answer them as they come in, or if you post them after the and errors, we will respond online. So, Dan, I want to talk to you about a couple of things that we're working on. You just recently returned from a convention or a conference in Copenhagen. Is it Copenhagen or Copenhagen?
Either one. Whatever you want to do is good by me.
And so you were there with John Lamakia from our office, and also we recently had some visitors from Malaysia that came to our convention. And it kind of, to me, speaks to our kind of our global presence that people might not be aware of. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, Matt, it's interesting because of the work that's been going on in Michigan and Michigan communities over the last decade plus in trying to reinvent ourselves. They say innovation only happens when you're upside down, and certainly in Michigan, going back to the recession even before that, we were as upside down as any place around. So many of our local leaders, league there, we're working alongside them and other groups out there as well, have been in the process of reinventing themselves, doing different types of work in downtowns, doing really interesting financial strategies, strategies to attract businesses, to improve quality of life. And people want to know about that. There's a lot of hunger out there for folks from other parts of the country and literally other parts of the world that want to find out what's going on in places like Detroit and Flint and other communities in Michigan. So, you know, I'm fortunate enough sometimes to be able to tell that story and learn from other people who are doing similar work.
Right. So in the conference in Denmark, we had people from all over the United States and all over the world there. What were some of the things that really highlighted for you?
Yeah, it was really amazing what a lot of communities are doing around the world when it comes to sustainability and really looking at the opportunities not just to make their places more sustainable, but to improve the economies of cities and regions and really whole countries. And so we see that happening. There's a woman who runs Public Works from Santa Monica was there. They're doing some unbelievable work in Santa Monica. But when you get across the pond, as they say, there's some things going on in Copenhagen, in Sweden, and other places that are just unbelievable in terms of trying to meld a sustainable approach and strategy together with a high-quality business attraction and retention program. Right. And you see just some great things happening. So that was one of my takeaways. You know, what can we bring home here to Michigan, to Michigan communities of all sizes, and how can we learn from what other people are doing to not just, again, create better places from a sustainability factor, but to improve our economy as well. Right. So that's probably my takeaway, one of my big ones.
You talk a lot about, you know, it's being a global economy that we're in right now. So it's important to look globally and see what other people are doing beyond our borders.
Yeah, I mean, it's the funny thing about globalization is that while, you know, certainly the business world has become global. The way to be really good is to be hyper-local. The way to sustain yourselves from an economic perspective is to be hyper-local. You know, farm to food or farm to table food. People investing in local businesses, creating entrepreneurial opportunities in those who are already in town, taking advantage of things like historic downtowns and historic business districts. Those are the types of things that people want when they're able to sort of move anywhere. So, we're in a global economy. Yeah, we're dealing with other countries, other businesses and places that we couldn't even find in a map, but the better off we're doing at this hyper-local level in terms of providing a great quality of life, the better off we're doing economically. So it's kind of turned on its ear a little bit. Right. And I think it gives us a huge opportunity here in Michigan because we have such great places and we have such cool bones and we have history and culture and so many different things on our side. That's really the secret sauce to this new economy.
Yeah.
And so if we can get our state and federal friends to do better at their end, I think the local officials in the state are ready to take the ball and run with it.
Right, and I think that's really important. You talk about the hyper-local, and that to me shows that no matter how big the city is or whatever, there's something to take away that you could apply to your small town or whatever. Yeah. We saw that at Detroit at our convention. I mean, Detroit's this big city, but there were things they're doing on a role, whether it's a specific park or on the riverfront, that our members can learn from that and take back home, no matter what size they are.
Yeah, no question. I mean, people talk about placemaking, or people talk about historic neighborhoods or housing, whatever the case might be. A lot of folks looking at missing middle-income housing. They're looking at housing for seniors, for people in poverty. And really understanding that is what we need to be, doing, and what we need to be doing from a local perspective. So dealing with some of those bigger issues, whether it be infrastructure issues, certainly the gas tax here in Michigan, other things are really a federal issue. But what we're doing locally, I think, is a really interesting thing.
Right, and that's great. And you said they were specifically interested in our crowdfunding work.
Yeah. The crowdfunding work we've done here in Michigan is I think something everyone should model for everyone. Right. And it was interesting because so many of the different groups are getting up there and talking about the macro style programs, how they're getting billions of dollars in Copenhagen that is using the sale of public lands to fund things like low income housing and infrastructure. Other places doing really, really good things from a standpoint of doing business attraction, investing in entrepreneurs, investing in downtowns and historic architecture. Those are state and federal programs. And our state and federal partners in government haven't been all that great in the last 30, 40 years, really, when it comes to that stuff. But again, what's going on locally is nothing short of amazing. When you look at the crowdfunding program, we funded over 250 programs with a 96% success rate on programs from dog parks to pocket parks to entrepreneur programs to our startups, you name it. And then our investment crowdfunding program too, which helped fund the Detroit City Football Club and a few beer gardens and breweries around the state. So that kind of micro work that a lot of our local officials are involved in is the stuff that is as interesting to people as some of these big programs are. So we can get the state and the feds to sort of do better at that level in terms of providing the huge amounts of money needed for things like rebuilding a road system. I'm really confident what our local officials will be able to do. Yeah. They're doing it. It's really cool.
Good. Well, good. Thank you, Dan, for joining us. Anything else you want to add about things coming up with the league?
Or? No, I mean, we're getting ready to shoot off a big program this week and moving for the next several months on looking at public policy and having these forums to discuss with our members and get feedback on everything from climate to business attraction to historic housing, social housing, you name it. I'm really looking forward to that because intermixing with members is something that we learn a lot from at the league, and we can bring ideas back to them.
Good.
That we're learning too.
So. We did that 10 years ago, and it really helped guide us.
Huge push for us and set the tone for a lot of the work we've been doing over the last 10 years. And I think these will have a similar type effect on what the work we're doing. Because, I mean, we found out then that being innovative as an organization is really what we need to be. And we need to go out there in difficult times and bring new ideas back to small towns, big cities, whatever it is. And I think that's something we do quite well, and we're excited to be doing more of that as we move forward. The forums are going to be part of that.
Right. I mean, we talk a lot about the league. We see ourselves as trying to inspire and kind of move and push our members.
Yeah,
so that's kind of
it's tough. It's tough. I mean, it's I don't want to sugarcoat the fact of the financial issues in cities and villages and urban townships and other places, and I don't want to glaze over some of the issues we're dealing with, unfunded mandates, the lead and copper rule, all those types of things that we've been working with. But despite that, you've seen some unbelievable work in cities and suburbs and small towns, you name it. And we're all sort of learning from each other and learning from people outside the state. And that's the really, quite frankly, the real fortunate part you and I have to be able to work in an organization like that, where we're working directly with people doing this really cool stuff on the ground. So next 10 years, we'll need the same kind of stuff. We're going to need innovative thinking. We're going to need to think about how we can outcompete other places, not just in the U.S., but other places abroad for businesses. And I think we're up to the task. I think our local officials are up to the task.
All right. Well, thank you, Dan, for joining us.
Sure.
Dan's going to slip out. He's got a meeting to get to. We're going to slide Chris Hackbarth in. So while we're doing that, I'm going to do a short pause. Pause.
Right.
All right, and we're back. Sorry for that short break there. We had to switch out mics. I'm now joined, magic of TV, magic of the internet world, by Chris Hackbarth, our Director of State and Federal Affairs. Chris, welcome.
How am I on the green screen?
You're good. I don't think we have a green screen. So, Chris, here to bring you on. What's going on in Lansing? I know there's budget stuff, there's line item vetoes, there's things happening. Can you boil it all down for us?
It's kind of been a busy 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We had that magic October 1st date that the budget had to be done by.
The legislature. Or the state was going to shut down.
Right. We had that happen. I was on staff before. It was an ugly time. But
yeah.
We were starting to get a little nervous, but legislature finished a budget, sent it to the governor. She was able to get to it. You know, obviously October 1st being at the beginning of the week, she got those bills before the weekend, spent the weekend going through them. And then, you know, when we got into the 30th and saw the signing, we saw a record number of line item vetoes, 147 line item vetoes.
Wow.
For nearly $1 billion in funding removed from the budget.
Okay.
So the legislature sent a budget, obviously, that the governor had not signed off on.
Okay.
So you had the legislature's priorities. Most of the budget bills were overly partisan votes. There were a few where you had bipartisan support. You had a couple of budgets that were actually unanimous.
Mm.
But you had a bulk of the budget that was driven by the majority in the House and the Senate. So the governor did 147 line item vetoes.
Wow.
And then the next day used a maneuver that's available through the State Administrative Board, which actually kind of does all the contracts above a certain dollar amount. Governor-appointed officials who kind of handle the actual funding of projects and programs. And that board has the legal authority from back under the Engler era through some lawsuits, has the legal authority to shift money after it's been appropriated to other programs within the same budget. So the governor then used this power really for the first time since Governor Engler had dealt with it legally.
Yeah.
And moved another $600 million.
Mm.
So we had $1.5 billion
Wow.
of funding either eliminated or moved from where the legislature originally proposed. Legislature was obviously upset. The governor was upset. We had a lot of...
No one's happy.
There was a lot of not nice things said on both sides.
Mm.
And that led to some pretty significant cuts, pretty significant issues being eliminated. For MML members, farm members, things were fairly calm. 2.3% increase in statutory revenue sharing was maintained.
Thing.
It was one of the only increases we've gotten in the last 10 years.
I know we've been hearing 0% to 3%, so 2.3, we're like, well, okay.
Yeah, I mean, literally 2.3 was probably the best we could have expected without the other tax changes the governor was proposing.
Okay.
So 2.3%, and that was left alone. The governor, though, did veto all of the payment in lieu of tax funding, so all the purchased lands, swamp tax, all those property tax reimbursements that local units, cities, villages, counties, townships get for land that that is state-owned.
Okay.
And so the governor vetoed that. That was $20-plus million. Main impact was on townships and counties.
Okay.
Not as big. We have a number of cities that get the PILT money from the state, those purchased lands tax reimbursements from the state, but not for large dollar amounts.
Yeah.
We're obviously interested in seeing it restored.
Sure. Now, I've seen comments online and stuff that, like, she did those because they were targeting specific legislators' districts and that kind of thing. Is that any truth to that, or is that?
There was a lot of grenades thrown. There was a lot of grenades thrown.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we look at that, one of the bigger concerns for us,
mm-hmm.
for our members, is just out of the legislature's original budget, they did reduce the community revitalization and business program at MEDC by $26 million. 10 of it they put into a program for rural economic development areas, but then 16 was a straight reduction in the line.
Okay.
So there was a lot of questions. There were some programs that were expected to be funded at the strategic fund level last month's strategic fund board meeting that were pulled off the agenda because of unknowns about whether the dollars would be there to fund those projects.
Right.
So that's something we'll be working with the legislature and the governor's office to hopefully get restored. So we moved through all these vetoes. Like I said, not great impact on municipalities. In terms of negative impact from the vetoes. But now we're uncertain what happens now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a situation where the leaders, the four leaders, House and Democratic leaders in Republican and Democratic leaders in the House and the Senate,
yes,
who are meeting with the governor. They've met now 2 weeks in a row. We've been hearing only positive out of that.
Oh, that's good.
The legislature turned in 47 individual supplemental budget bills to restore many of the line items the governor vetoed. The governor has her own supplemental she's put together, appears to have put some olive branches into that supplemental she's put together, funding programs that the legislature had asked for that weren't in her original budget. So they appear to be moving together, and we're hopeful that over the next 2 weeks we're going to see something. I think the mood around town, the momentum's shifted back towards they're working to repair some of the relationship that was damaged.
Okay. Well, that kind of ebbs and flows, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So what other issues, aside from the budget, have been going on? I understand there's some stuff happening with the PFAS issue, which is an environmental contamination type
Correct.
Thing.
Polyfluoral, da-da-da.
Yeah.
So the governor, obviously, we've talked about this numerous times on the show.
Yeah.
The governor had proposed and asked the department to put a draft rule together. They had done that, solicited feedback from the league and other organizations, water system providers. That they put together recommended contaminant levels. That rule process has now gone to the governor. Her office has signed off on it, so we've now entered the official rule publication process.
Okay.
So we will have some information coming out on our website this week, early
this week. Our Inside 208 blog.
Our Inside 208 blog. Yep. That will, you know, kind of let members know what the public comment period is, what the potential impact for communities is as this rule moves forward, and what the timeline looks like. Again, okay. I think they're still trying to operate on getting a rule completed by spring of next year.
Okay. Well, good. Well, thank you, Chris. Anything else to add on Lansing stuff?
No, like I said, there's a lot going on, a lot centered around the budget. I think once we see what happens with the budget, that will move us into the road funding conversation.
Okay.
And then we'll see, I mean, both leaders appear to be still interested and have publicly talked about that they will come back to the table for a long-term road funding solution, that they want to negotiate that. They're working to get themselves past the budget hiccups here, and we'll see hopefully more conversations on that. The House committee that's been dealing with the local option road funding bills,
yeah,
that committee continues to meet. They're scheduled again this week, so we'll be in that committee this week talking about some more of the bills in that package, providing more local flexibility around road dollars, and again those local option bills. So
okay.
The other one that's out there that I'll mention is a proposal in the House Natural Resources. No, I guess it is also in transportation, but on the Natural Resource Park Passport, Recreation Passport. So when you do the $11 with your license plate,
yeah,
that money goes into the state parks. There's also a portion of those dollars that go to local parks, local park grants. There's a proposal to change right now. That's you opt in as a when yeah. you renew your plate. There's a proposal to change that to an opt out, similar to the way the state of Montana, I believe it is, has their program. And then with that opt out, that would they anticipate that would increase participation. They're also going to increase the earmark that goes to local park grants from 10% of the proceeds to 15%. So it could more than double the money going to local park grants. So we're very supportive of that and following that closely.
Okay, well, good. Well, speaking of the transportation budget and road funding, we have a series of you need to know trainings coming up for our members. I know you're doing one in Traverse City on that topic. Mm-hmm. I think on October 28th with John Lamachia in our office. We also have one on the census. Kind of basically adding up and the importance of the census to our members on October 24th in Southfield. And then there's one on crowdfunding in Ypsilanti on November 13th. Then we have a series of newly elected trainings. After that, right after the election, we have a lot of new members probably coming in our local councils and trainings on those. So those are all important things that you can find on our website, mml.org. Any last parting words, Chris?
Just make sure you mention Inside 208. For yeah. members who haven't signed up, please click on that Inside 208 button on the right-hand side of our webpage and enter your email address to get regular updates from us on everything happening in Lansing.
Yeah, that's nice because every time a new blog is posted, if you do that registration, your email address, it just pops up in your email. You can see it. That's really helpful for us as we, you know, as this budget stuff happens. Sometimes we need to write a quick blog. And we need members to call right away because a bill could appear that we're like, oh my gosh, we got to act on this. So that's very important that people do that.
Absolutely.
So thanks, Chris. So our next Monday Morning Live will be on 10:30 a.m. on Monday, October 28th. Until then, thank you. Signing off.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org. and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.